Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like no Sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all seeking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folks' face. Then you got them rappers with that cold, broke face. They toured around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh. Deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I know by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. That there'll be many of you, nah. Do you really think they ready for you, nah? Do you think they really ready for you, nah? Do you think that there'll be many of you, nah? Do you really think they ready for you, nah? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming. Blue broad stripes and bright stars through the sky.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till I didn't ever ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high. Burning the time, loud as the Lord's sea. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far, oh, oh, long the way, Thou who has bowed Thy might say, oh, to the light, keep us forever, oh, in this past we pray.
Everybody, we on the air. We on the air. Try to give a full show today. Here's a controversy, everybody. Here's a controversy I want to talk about, everybody. In the age of Obama, we was promised. Well, the left media, he said left wing media, but the MSNBCs of the world and CNNs of the world were saying that we are now this post-racial society because white America chose a black man as president, so we must have moved on. But since that has happened, what? Affirmative action has got dismantled. The Voting Rights Act has gotten cut off. Clive, Bundy, Sterling. Now, the funny thing, Clive Bundy and Sterling things, you know, to me, Sterling was just a man salty that his woman was dating other people. Clive Bundy. But now, here we got Leslie Jones. Are we outraged at Leslie Jones? Given what she did on Saturday Night Live, Are We Outraged, at Leslie Jones? Or are we just going to sit by and let all that just, you know, slide and play, you know, be played off? But anyway, that's what the show is going to be about. We'll call it Accidental Racism Part 2. All right. We'll take one quick break, and I guess we'll be back in one moment. 347-838-9825 is the call numbers. This is Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. You can reach me at Tillman2014 on Twitter.
Thing I know about the Negro. When I go through Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy? Yeah, they did get no more freedom. They got less freedom. They had less family alive, and their happiness. You can see in their faces they weren't happy sitting on that concrete sidewalk. Down there, they were probably growing their turnips. So that's all government. That's not freedom.
Black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. In the slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! I'm Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right me. In the slave days.
I'm wondering, Cliven Bundy's a wondering about these people. Now I'm talking about the black community. I'm wondering, are they better off with their young women aborting their children? Are they better off with their young men in prison? And are they better off with the older people on the sidewalks in front of their government-issued homes with a few children on them? Are they better off? Are they happier than they was when they was in the South in front of their homes with their chickens and their gardens and their children around them and their men having something to do? Are they better off?
Bucks down on Main, I hope you understand. When I put on that t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinner fan. The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the I just walked him right in the room. Just a proud rebel son with an old can of worms, looking like I got a lot to learn. But from my point of view, I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland, trying to like not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. And it ain't like you and me can rewrite history. Our generation didn't start this nation. We're still picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday. Between Southern pride and Southern blame. They called it Reconstruction, fixed the buildings, strides and tears. We're still sifting through the rubble after 150 years. I try to put myself in your shoes, and that's a good place to begin. It ain't like I can walk a mile in someone else's skin. Yes, I'm a white man living in the Southland. Just like you, I'm more
Dear Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me, I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave, I never could. Feel like a newfangled jangle dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag and I think you wish I wasn't here. If you don't judge my new rag, I won't judge your red flag. Mason Dixon needs some fixing.
I hope you understand what this is all about.
Quite frankly, I'm a black Yankee, but I've been thinking about this lately.
I'm a son of the new South.
The past is the past, you feel me?
And I just want to make things right.
Let bygones be bygones.
All that's left. Southern pride.
R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. But I gotta thank Abraham Lincoln for freeing me. You know what I mean? It's real. It's real. It's true.
So there's been this big controversy around SNL, and they're, you know, their willing or their lack thereof, or that they're not hiring an African American cast member. So now SNL has hired an African American cast member, and now they've added two new writers, two African American writers, to join the team. So Sahar Zamata is the new SNL cast member, and beyond that, they've added two writers. They've added Leslie Jones, and they've also added LaKendra to join their writing staff. I don't have a last name on LaKendra. We got to find that out. We'll find that out and post it in the comments. So now they have a total of three black women in between writing and cast. Hopefully this will help SNL's ratings. But beyond that, it just helps to have a diverse cast. Point blank, period. I mean, let's just be real talk about it. Like, and not to mention the fact that, you know, some of the best SNL skits were done by a diverse cast. And so many great minority actors and actresses got their start on Saturday Night Live. So I'm happy that the network has decided to make the direction in that way. It's sad that it took so much pressure and so much time to get it done.
I'm single right now. But back in the slave days, I would have never been single.
It's Slavery Night Live with SNL writer-performer Leslie Jones and special guest Rachel Firestorm.
Leslie Jones did this bit on SNL about Lupita Nyong'o being named the most beautiful woman in the world.
Nyong'o girl.
And she said, you know, how come they don't have a list for the most practical woman in the world?
I'm 6 feet tall and I'm strong, Colin, strong!
And that's when things got all slavey.
Back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Master would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping them out, just Shaq, Kobe, LeBron.
It was very uncomfortable, but it was also very funny.
Well, Ebony.com senior editor Jamila Lemieux wasn't laughing.
It was very hurtful, and as a black woman, it was extremely hard to watch.
I have a problem with white people laughing at slavery. I don't think we've come that far.
I get back to, you know, doing a movie about the Holocaust and making it funny. I mean, that happened too.
See, I didn't think Schindler's List was that funny.
I think he was talking to producers.
Anyway, we can solve this definitively because we did a poll and 80% say it's hilarious. Then again, the internet loves racism. Thanks, edgy racial humor. You're always stirring up trouble.
Well, he was. That's our job. So I want to go back to the SNL controversy, Chris, because this is the context for this, is that Leslie Jones, Sasheer Zamata, and the third writer were actually hired because SNL was criticized for not being diverse enough. So now they bring this diversity, and sort of ironically, was it that maybe SNL's format was really not ready for sort of what she was bringing to the table?
I think what a lot of people are outraged about is that it just wasn't smart. It wasn't smart humor. She just came on and began talking about slavery, comparing Lupita Nyong'o, who's really having her Cinderella moment, to being at a slave auction or being on a plantation. It was in poor taste, and if she could have somehow worked in Donald Sterling or Cliven Bundy and somehow made it smarter, we have a story up right now on the Griot that said it would have been a hit. But it was a big mess. It was in the timing right now. We're in a really racially sensitive, heightened timing with all these things happening. So SNL probably should have known better. But it's SNL at the end of the day. It's a comedy show.
It's a comedy show. And I want to read, we actually reached out to some comedians, Jackie, just to get their commentary as well. Yeah. And Claudia Wallace, who's one of the folks who sent us back a statement, this is what she said. She said, I wasn't as offended, but it did make me uncomfortable. The energy of that piece didn't fit the show. It made SNL look desperate to show, hey, we can be as edgy as Key and Peele, but honestly, they can't. Is the issue here that this is really a broadcast network format? So it's a little bit different than, let's say, a cable format or even live sketch comedy.
You do have to be more careful on national network television, but I respectfully disagree with you. I know Leslie. I've seen her perform hundreds of times. She's aggressively funny. That's her job. And they've said way worse things on Weekend Update throughout the years. She was amazing. She was hilarious. Being a juicy woman myself, I know I'll go for a top dollar in the slavery day because I have bursting hips and bursting boobs. She knew what she looks like. Her father told her what the world was like back then. Black people were like the way you buy shoes in Macy's and Nordstrom. We were on display. That's the truth. So the fact that it's funny now, we're just making light of something that was horrible. But that's the reality.
I think that a lot of folks, though, are outraged because we haven't seen black women on SNL that often. We see Sasheer Zamata on for the first time making history. This is the first time that we've seen a black writer on SNL in a long time. And this is what she comes out saying. That's why folks,
she
I think,
came out
are
like,
most
bam,
upset.
I'm here, let's do it. Yeah. And I'm proud of her. You're on it. Take the time. Take the opportunity. A black woman is on it. Now you're going to hear how funny we can be. And I'm proud of her.
I look forward to see more of her. I want to see what else she can do.
You can't contain that in the writing room. She's going to be on camera way more than it. This is how she is all the time.
Right. Well, I think we've definitely seen the edge that she brings to the table, and this debate, I'm sure, will continue. I'm sure it's continuing right now on Twitter. And we.
The Negro. I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro. When I go to Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy?
They just transferred.
Yeah, they didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom. They had less family.
Black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. The slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right me. In the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Matt, the best brother on the plantation. And every month I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping. COVID. LeBron.
Bad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm the one slave draft pick.
Okay. All right. So we got this girl named Leslie Jones.
she's a legendary, you know, I'll say legendary, but, you know, she's a black comedian. Bitch ugly as hell. She did a skit on Saturday Night Live, I guess because of Time Magazine, which made Lupita Nyong'o the beautifulest person in the world. They gave her the most beautifulest person award. So then this chick gets on here and she does this skit where she says that she would have loved being a slave back then, humping the black slaves, saying that she would have never been single because at that time the white slave masters would have the black women, or they would probably have sex or try to rape them, or probably would have them have sex with some of the strongest black men there, and basically so they could have strong whatever genes going down the line, whatever. To me, this is like Conan to the maximum level. This is Conan to the 100% level. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot stand Conan. I can't. I really can't. I can't stand it when black people feel they have to sell out and they have to just go on national television and prove that they are just selling out. It's a sad world, man. Black pride is not even existing no more. Now, I love all races, but sometimes it was moments in my life where I couldn't stand black coons. I mean, black people. But I can't stand ignorance of Negroes. And then she says right here, like, I mean, look at me. I'm a Mandingo. I'm just saying that back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Massa would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. This chick is ratchet looking, ignorant. And I mean, why would you do that? Like, why would you even make a joke about that? It's just pure bull crap, man. But anyway, this is what I want to see. I mean, I just can't believe this. This was just, it wasn't even funny. I mean, to me, Saturday Night Live is not even funny. It's not. It's bull crap. I mean, I barely even laugh at some of stuff, whatever, but, you know, I might laugh at Seth Rogen's Neighbors. But other than that, though, it's chick right here, which I wouldn't want to be with her. The only time I'd probably be with her is if I was drunk. But, yeah, it's your boy Jay Davis. Hit that like button, comment, subscribe. Peace.
So, here recently on Saturday Night Live, Leslie Jones does a skit, a comic skit, where she congratulates Lupita for winning the Most Beautiful Person Award. She does that. Let me pause here and say that I've been seeing a lot of black folk play Lupita, black men and women playing the shit out of Lupita, cooning against your own people. I don't understand that shit. Like, what for? Like, you can even do that. That doesn't make any sense how she ain't saying shit to y'all, but people gonna be talking shit about her because she won the Most Beautiful Person Award. Well, Leslie Jones, the comedian, who has been a comedian for a long fucking time now, I never thought she was funny in any type of way. She congratulates Lupita on Saturday Night Live, but then follows with a bunch of coon shit that she decides to say about what type of slave she would have been. a big, strong slave. Since she wouldn't have had no relationship problems back then, she wasn't them type of media. She'll downplay her problems with finding men and shit like that, and completely ignoring the fact that she's a ugly motherfucker. We're going to skip over that. That might be where your problem's coming from. But she says during slavery, she wouldn't have had those type of issues. Because Massa would have been breeding her with other big, strong black men so she could have big, strong black babies to be slaves. She named basketball players. LeBron and couple of other motherfuckers, I forget all of them, but she started naming a bunch of athletes. Now, she would have been having back in the day to pick, you know, as much cotton as she possibly could, and they would have transported her, or she would have wanted to be transported to different, you know, plantations to be fucked by the biggest, strongest black male worker there. Like, that to me, that is complete and utter motherfucking cooning. Black women were raped back then by the slave masters. They act like white men been wanting black women since they got over here, to the point of taking it from them. Acting like that. Mating them with other black men. They didn't have to want to mate with those black men. But to get the biggest, strongest, you know, litter, this is what had to happen. And to make a joke out of that shit. Like, as a comedian, you can do anything. I understand comedy. Like, people want to fucking laugh and shit like that. But at what point are we going to take our pride and put it over wanting to fucking laugh all the goddamn time? When is shit going to stop being fucking funny? Like, that shit wasn't funny at all to me. But you believe them white folk were laughing. Like, is this, she really cooning like that in front of us? LOL. Saturday Night Live, let the shit be aired. They could have came up with any other idea. They knew this was going to happen, what they were doing. They called it Saturday Night Live, but they practiced the shit. They could have been like, nah, that's not a good idea. You know, nah, it's just too much. She would have never been single back in the slave days. She would have much rather had her pussy passed around and she was forced to have babies by the strong black man on the plantation. This is what she would have preferred. This is what was funny to her. At some point, y'all, we're going to have some pride. And this tycooning that happens, this motherfucker, and that's all she is, Leslie Jones, you are a coon. Just in case this video makes it to you, you are a motherfucking coon, and you should be ashamed of your goddamn self. Seriously. I'm going to post a link up to the video so y'all can watch it for yourself. Y'all can judge it. You might think it's fucking hilarious. You might think I'm being too critical of her. So I had somebody come be up like, yo, you got to quit saying this coon and shit. No, I don't. I don't have to quit saying that shit at all. You don't have to say it. That's on you. But I'm going to call out cooning on every motherfucking level. And this shit right here is a clear example of motherfucking cooning, in my opinion. Y'all comment if you feel the need to comment. That's all the fuck I want to say, y'all. It's your motherfucking mans in them. I'm out.
Okay. All right, so we got this girl named Leslie Jones. She's a legendary, you know, I say legendary, but, you know, she's a black comedian. Bitch, ugly as hell. She did a skit on Saturday Night Live, I guess because of Time Magazine, which made Lupita Nyong'o the beautifulest person in the world. They gave her the most beautiful person award. So then this chick gets on here and she does this skit where she says that she would have loved being a slave back then.
Honey, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too.
I wish I can change the skin, the color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast
it. I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that are not true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're...
You can't be flexible. You can't...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful and respectful.
Well, why do you have to disrespect them? Those are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, and you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately. In your whole life, every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games?
I really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about it.
I know.
Okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We gotta pay. If you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person and
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me?
Okay. The Negro. I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro. When I go to Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy?
To transfer. They just transferred.
Yeah, they did get no more freedom. They got less freedom. They had less family alive, and their happiness, you can see in their faces, they wouldn't.
I'm single right now, but back in the slave days, I would have never been single.
It's Slavery Night Live with SNL writer-performer Leslie Jones and special guest Rachel Firestorm.
Leslie Jones did this bit on SNL about Lupita Nyong'o being named the most beautiful woman in the world.
Young go girl.
And she said, you know, how come they don't have a list for the most practical woman in the world?
I'm 6 feet tall and I'm strong, Colin, strong!
And that's when things got all slavey.
Back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Master would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping them out to Shaq, Kobe, LeBron.
It was very uncomfortable, but it was also very funny.
Well, Ebony.com senior editor Jamila Lemieux wasn't laughing.
It was very hurtful, and as a black woman, it was extremely hard to watch.
I have a problem with white people laughing at slavery. I don't think we've come that far.
I get back to, you know, doing a movie about the Holocaust and making it funny. I mean, that happened too.
See, I didn't think Schindler's List was that funny.
I think he was talking to producers. Anyway, we can solve this definitively because we did a poll and 80% say it's hilarious. Then again, the internet loves racism. Thanks, edgy racial humor. You're always stirring up trouble.
New black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. The slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! I'm Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right me. In the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Matt, the best brother on the plantation. And every month I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months I'd just be in the corner just popping. Kobe. LeBron. Sinbad. That's what I'm saying. I'm one slave draft pick.
Well, I got a call on. I got one more spot I'm going to play. Somebody sent me, this is Don Lemon. Don Lemon, I think he was defending. I'm trying to play both sides, everybody. I'm trying to get both sides of the, on the story. I don't want to just, you know, be like jumping on my girl and stuff like that. The one with Don Lemon on the Ebony, well, somebody said, well, that's the one with Don Lemon. And we're going to bring this call until I get that one up here. Yeah, what's going on, Dawn? What's happening with you? What's up? Have you heard the new controversy with my girl? have heard the controversy with my girl Leslie Jones, who says back in the slave days she'd have been a strong man dingo popping them out. Where have we gone in America?
Well, like, when you just played it, that's the first I heard. I'm not too much up on Saturday Night Live or watching it too much. I think once again, just, you know, desensitizing, black people, the American people, about slavery, about anything that's horrific in this country, because the country was built on all of the violence. For now, it's perceived as a joke, and it's kind of just like this. You know, this is what America has come to. And, even though the guy Bundy, what's his name, Bundy, right? Clive and Bundy?
Right, Clive Bundy, yeah.
You know, made some ignorant statement what do you expect from somebody, of his level.
But, yeah,
My thing is, cracking jokes on it. I go back to Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor might have, crack jokes about and said certain things during his day, especially when he was at his highest. But it still was a message behind even the comedy, But this comedy is more just, okay, we're just going to be funny and people laugh, but there's no message with the... So comedians, to me, being a comedian is still like an art.
Yeah, I agree. It's an art form. Let me play. Yeah. Go ahead. Now, I was going to play the Ebony Pulls Up. Don Lemon is defending Leslie Jones, or somebody sent me a clip of their critique. I'll play that and let me get your response. Then I'll play a little bit more of Leslie Jones and see what you think about that.
Hey, you guys, it's your girl T, and there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the new Saturday Night Live comedian. Her name is Leslie Jones, and she's one of the black female comedians. A lot of folks were complaining there were no black females, so now they finally hired one, and she recently did a skit over the weekend that's causing a lot of controversy, and basically it's called The Slave Wrath. And in that skit, she's talking about how because of her build, she would have had a man because she can't get a man in 2014 to save her life. And she had been breeding out Shaquilles and LeBron Jameses and everything else. I want you to go ahead and check out her skit. The link is down below. I want you to go ahead and watch it and then come back and watch the rest of my commentary. Okay, so I'm sure you guys all watched the skit by now. And when I watched the skit, granted she was kind of cooning, but I did find the skit kind of funny in a dark way. I understood where she was coming from with this skit. She was basically saying that in 2014, she can't get a man because I guess the way she looks or whatever. But back then, she would have had no problem getting with a brother because Master would have forced the black man and black woman to get together. So I understood where she's coming from. But again, as we know, we live in a racially sensitive world. And folks, were really upset at her. They were going off on her on Twitter. So she decided to clap back, and she went off. I'm going to go ahead and show you guys these tweets right now, and I'll come back with the rest of my commentary. Okay.
I thought you said it was a Don Lemon approach. Now I'm trying to keep an Which he said edited at least better. Why long ago? Cause I still hear the music in my ear. What we gonna lie? Oh.
And my whole thing is this. Leslie needs to realize that folks are going to have their opinions. Some folks are going to like your work and some folks are not going to like your work, but at the end of the day, they have the right to their opinion. And I'm not saying that anybody has the right to be nasty to her or cuss her out, because at the end of the day, she's doing her job. She's doing what she's told to do. It's not like she's Dr. Cornell West. She's supposed to make people laugh. If you didn't like her joke, then that's fine. You have the right to state that. I guess to me personally, I felt like if she was so proud of her work and she's still behind her work, she shouldn't have to explain herself in almost 16 tweets. I mean, me personally, if folks didn't like my work and they didn't like the jokes that I had to say, I would just say, you know what, it is what it is and keep it moving. You know, I'll try better next time. The fact that she went off and cussed folks out on Twitter, you know, trying to defend her work says a lot. It makes me feel like maybe she feels deep down inside what she did was possibly wrong, and that's why she clapped back as hard as she did. But with that being said, our favorite CNN news correspondent, Don Lemon, has come out and he has her back. And this is what Don Lemon had to say about the entire controversy. I'm going to go ahead and play you guys Don Lemon's clip right now, and then I'll come back with the rest of my commentary.
Last year, people were on a tear complaining about diversity, asking, where are the sisters on SNL? And now that there are some on there, you complain about her material. In the 1970s, SNL brilliantly used the N-word in a sketch with Richard Pryor and Chevy Chase. The Jeffersons, All in the Family, Good Times, they all use the N-word and broach controversial race topics as well. And sometimes they didn't do it gracefully, but at least they did it. Hell, in Living Color had Wanda. Martin Lawrence had Shanae. Neither character was flattering to black women, but you laughed at them. Leslie Jones responded by saying that black people were too sensitive sometimes. In this case, she is right. Leave the woman alone. Give her the freedom the rest of the cast has, the freedom to grow, the freedom to learn, the freedom to make mistakes. She shouldn't have to carry the collective burden of all black people on her shoulders. She's a comedian, not a civil rights worker. Leslie Jones, ignore the haters. The loudest voices on Twitter aren't necessarily the majority. Do your thing. Kick ass and take names. I'm Don Lemon. Thanks for watching.
Okay, so you guys just saw Don Lemon's clip, and Don Lemon basically said what I said. She's a comedian. You know, I don't really expect much from a lot of these comedians out here. You know, Kevin Hart has said some real foul shit towards black women, especially dark-skinned black women. You know, a lot of comedians out here say some really, really foul shit. You know, even in Barbershop, they had disrespected Dr. Martin Luther King. So I'm just kind of used to black comedians, especially black comedians, cooning and doing whatever else. So at the end of the day, people have the right to their opinions. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, it is what it is. So anyways, go ahead and leave a comment. Let me know your thoughts on this entire situation. Did you like her skit? Do you feel like it was racist? Do you feel like slavery jokes should be off limits no matter what? And also, how did you feel about Don Lemon coming in, you know, basically having her back and saying that he enjoyed her skit and that folks need to leave her alone? So let me know your thoughts on this entire controversy. All right. Deuces.
Black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. The slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! I'm Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people, right? Me. In the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Matt, the best brother on the plantation. And every month I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months I'd just be in the corner just popping. Kobe. LeBron. Sinbad. That's what I'm saying. I won slave draft pick.
Yeah, so what do you think so far?
I think it goes back to and just going, you know, further into, you know, deeper into the whole thing on what's even happened to us as black people under the rule of white supremacy. It's like it's still that we give, it's so many layers, Jim. I was just talking to my wife about it tonight. She and I was so many layers, man, that slavery did to us. That it's almost like, you know, you have to pull all these layers off. So even someone said, girl, do your thing, you know, John Lemon, go ahead and do your thing. But everything is still, like, we're still living in a slave-master-slave relationship. It's just a 2014 or a new millennium, you know, type of slave. But it's still a relationship that we had back then towards the slave-master. I mean, it's the same thing. Because really, man, like I said, we know it's jokes and everything, but if you think about it, it is... You don't really see any other people that have been through any kind of Holocaust cracking jokes on it. You know what I'm saying? But so that goes to show really that our Holocaust was the worst because we don't crack jokes on it because it's almost like that's all we can do is laugh at it, which once again states that how bad, you know, slavery was, that we just crack jokes on it and keep it moving and be like, okay, it is what it is.
and almost like we niggas. I remember a quote in the movie Roots on and when Kunta Kinte and Philly was having a conversation, and he was told Kunta Kinte, you a plain old nigga, and that's all. Like, let all that past African stuff go. Like, you just a nigga, and that's it. So that's almost like what we have become. Like, go ahead, like we have accepted our role. I ain't gonna say ours, because we have conscious people out there, but the masses of people that's being manipulated by white supremacy in that way has really accepted that role. Basically, they don't know it, or just being beat down for so many years. And it is kind of sad that we have to even debate about it. You know, or talk about it. Like, you know, you don't have no Jewish people really. You know, Chinese people talking about when an atomic bomb drops on them. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, right. When that atomic bomb drops on them, you got burnt. You know, that ain't really nothing to really joke around with. You know what I mean?
Indians talk about when Sitting Bull rolled down on or Custard. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. You don't hear me, you know, them equating that to that.
You know. Or you remember, you know, the Jewish people say, you know, when you remember you was in the gas chambers, you know, you ain't really... That's, but like I said, that goes to show how they want to compare different Holocausts around the world. That goes to show that ours was, it did something so much to us that we will crack jokes on it. Like, we don't even respect it that much that we will basically shit on it. Like, okay, hey, it was what it was. And we laugh at it because it is almost laugh and cry like that. That is true. And we do laugh at it, you know what I'm saying? Because it is funny. In that particular way, but then when you look at it and you go deep into it, it's that kind of funny that'll make you cry after you laugh for so long.
Well,
and it really makes you get up your ass and do something about it.
Do you think she was cooning?
It's cool. I think cooning is almost like when you think about what made the story about Stephen Fetch. They said he didn't really speak like that. You know, master, you know, all of that type of stuff, but he did it for the film, so it's cool. And no matter, I think, as black people, unless we came out the womb with that consciousness, that we are then cool in this white society in some kind of way until we became more conscious. You know what I'm saying, Jim?
Like Dave Chappelle.
You said what now?
Like Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. It's almost like we get to the point where, like, damn, we have to. You know, the whole becoming more consciously aware, it's like you hit yourself over the head or something else hits you over the head. Well, like, damn, what the hell I'm doing? Like, this is, you know, whether you're doing it, whether some people are doing it for money or that feel of love from a fan or, whatever the case may be. But I think we all had to cool. It's like that's going back to the movie Roots, per se. Like, Kunta Kinte, he had to eventually cool in front of the master. You know what I'm saying? To be like, okay, damn, I got my foot chopped up. I got beat. I'm a cool and smile in front of him, but behind closed doors, fuck the master. You know what I mean? But it's almost like playing that. But I think nowadays, some people play it, and when they get behind doors, they still the cool. So I think that's what's worse nowadays, that we cool on camera and off camera. You know,
right.
And that's the sad part about it.
Right. Well, there were some people talking about boycotting SNL and having a fire. Let me go and play that clip. Let me know what you think about this, too.
Racism is not humor. Racism is not entertainment. Racism is wrong. Whether it's Dog the Bounty Hunter, Don Imus, the owner of the LA Clippers, Lou Dobbs, or an African-American writer employed by SNL, mocking the suffering of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of slaves, her ancestors. That's racism. It's not humor, it's not entertainment, and it's wrong. I have to say that I'm incredibly disappointed with Saturday Night Live. And I also have to say that I'm incredibly disappointed with this particular writer. The slaves were kidnapped from Africa against their will, or stolen from Africa, as Bob Marley says in Buffalo Soldier. Their suffering was abhorrent. Their experience, unparalleled. They were treated like property, like subhumans. They were forced to work their entire lives for a major network to air such trash is outrageous. And it's not humor. If we say that this is humor, then we condone what the owner of the LA Clippers did. We condone what Don Imus did. We condone what Dog the Bounty Hunter does or did. We condone it all. The fact that it's an African American writing this trash doesn't make it any less racist than if it was a redneck with a white robe burning a cross at night in Alabama. If you don't see that distinction, then you're a hypocrite, because there is no distinction. Shame on SNL. And shame on you if you think this is entertaining.
What do you think about that, Coop? That little piece. What about that piece right there?
I'm playing both sides. I agree with that. It's nothing. I think, once again, it's the lack of understanding, I think, that black people have for our own history, that we really don't know about. It's kind of like how we just said, you're not going to get another race of people that's going to do that if they've been through a Holocaust. But like I said, on the flip side of it, that goes to show on how much the Holocaust of slavery did to us. If we really lost our minds, we will crack a joke about it and draw the line and be like, no, I'm not going to necessarily, I'm going to crack a joke about slavery, but it's going to be more towards white people, or what Master did, or in that way, not necessarily on what was done to me, or if we're going to be more creative, flip around what was done to me and show it, make it more of a sarcastic joke towards society, in that way. And I can get that. It's like, if that's the case, then we have forgotten what was done and not really, seeing that it's still going on. And therefore, like I said, a black writer, that's just still like the, that was my point earlier, Jim. It's like we still have that master-slave-master relationship, because knowing that, and that's the thing with slavery did, the master knew at any given time he could go pick a nigga from the cotton field or whatever and give him something he's not giving the other slaves and make that nigga do something to the other slaves, And that slave thinking like, okay, I'm eating. Y'all still out here picking cotton. I'm up here, the master gave me this, gave me that. So it's still that, that's that psychological beatdown that came along with the whip that beat it down.
Yeah, I agree with that, but let me play a repeat. I'm not playing the first album, I know I'm at it here, but here's some other people that I was really dissatisfied, and they called the chick straight Conan. Let me go with the short one first.
Okay. All right, so we got this girl named Leslie Jones. She's a legendary, I'll say legendary, but, she's a black comedian. Bitch ugly as hell. She did a skit on Saturday Night Live, I guess because of Time Magazine, which made Lupita Nyong'o the beautifulest person in the world. They gave her the most beautifulest person award. So then this chick gets on here and she does this skit where she says that she would have loved being a slave back then, humping the black slaves, saying that she would have never been single because at that time the white slave masters would have the black women, or they would probably have sex or try to rape them, or probably would have them have sex with some of the strongest black men there, and basically so they could have strong whatever genes going down the line, whatever. To me, this is like Conan to the maximum level. This is Conan to the 100% level. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot stand Conan. I can't. I really can't. I can't stand it when black people feel they have to sell out, and then I have to just go on national television and prove that they are just selling out. It's a sad world, man. Black pride is not even existing no more. Now, I love all races, but sometimes it was moments in my life where I couldn't stand black coons. I mean, black people. But I can't stand ignorance of Negroes. And then she says right here, like, I mean, look at me. I'm a Mandingo. I'm just saying that back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Massa would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. This chick is ratchet looking, ignorant, and I mean, why would you do that? Like, why would you even make a joke about that? It's just pure bull crap, man. But anyway, this is what I want to see. I mean, I just can't believe this. This was just, it wasn't even funny. I mean, to me, Saturday Night Live is not even funny. It's not. It's bull crap. I mean, I barely even laugh at some of stuff, whatever, but, you know, I might laugh at Seth Rogen neighbors. But other than that, though, this chick right here, which I wouldn't want to be with her. The only time I'd probably be with her is if I was drunk. But yeah.
So, here recently on Saturday Night Live, Leslie Jones does a skit, a comic skit, where she congratulates Lupita for winning the Most Beautiful Person award. She does that. Let me pause here and say that I've been seeing a lot of black folk play Lupita, black men and women playing the shit out of Lupita, cooning against your own people. I don't understand that shit. Like, what for? Like, you can even do that. That doesn't make any sense how she ain't saying shit to y'all, but people gonna be talking shit about her because she won the Most Beautiful Person award. Well, Leslie Jones, the comedian, who has been a comedian for a long fucking time now, I never thought she was funny in any type of way. She congratulates Lupita on Saturday Night Live, but then follows with a bunch of coon shit that she decides to say about what type of slave she would have been. A big, strong slave. She says she wouldn't have had no relationship problems back then. She wasn't them type comedians. She'll downplay her problems with finding men and shit like that, and completely ignoring the fact that she's a ugly motherfucker. We're going to skip over that. That might be where your problem's coming from. But she says during slavery, she wouldn't have had those type of issues. Because Massa would have been breeding her with other big, strong black men so she could have big, strong black babies to be slaves. She named basketball players. LeBron and a couple of other motherfuckers. I forget all of them. But she started naming a bunch of athletes that she would have been having back in the day to pick, you know, as much cotton as she possibly could. And they would have transported her. Or she would want it to be transported to different, you know, plantations to be fucked by the biggest, strongest black male worker there. Like, that to me, that is complete and utter motherfucking cooning. Black women were raped back then by the slave masters. They act like white men been wanting black women since they got over here to the point of taking it from them. Acting like that. Mating them with other black men, they didn't want to have to want to mate with those black men. But to get the biggest, strongest, you know, litter, this what had to happen. And to make a joke out of that shit. Like, as a comedian, you can do anything. I understand comedy. Like, people want to fucking laugh and shit like that, but at what point are we going to take our pride and put it over wanting to fucking laugh all the goddamn time? When is shit gonna stop being fucking funny? Like, that shit wasn't funny at all to me. But you can believe them white folk were laughing. Like, is this, she really cooning like that in front of us? LOL. Saturday Night Live let the shit be aired. They could have came up with any other idea. They knew this was going to happen, what they was doing. They called it Saturday Night Live, but they practiced the shit. They could have been like, nah, that's not a good idea. You know, nah, that's, it's just too much. She would have never been single back in the slave days. She'd have much rather had her pussy passed around if she was forced to have babies by the strong black man on the plantation. This is what she would have preferred. This is what was funny to her. At some point, y'all, we're going to have some pride. And this type cooning that happens, this motherfucker, and that's all she is, Leslie Jones, you are a coon. Just in case this video makes it to you, you are a motherfucking coon, and you should be ashamed of your goddamn self. Seriously. I'm going to post a link up to the video so y'all can watch it for yourself. Y'all can judge it. You might think it's fucking hilarious. You might think I'm being too critical of her. So I had somebody come be up like, yo, you got to quit saying this coonish. No, I don't. I don't have to quit saying that shit at all. You don't have to say it. That's on you. But I'm going to call out coon on every motherfucking level. And this shit right here is a clear example of motherfucking cooning, in my opinion. Y'all comment if you feel the need to comment. That's all the fuck I want to say, y'all. It's your motherfucking man.
Black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. The slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people right me. Back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Matt, the best brother on the plantation. And every month I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping. Kobe. LeBron.
Sinbad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm one slave draft pick.
So what do you think about that, Coop?
Yeah, man, he had a right. He should have right on. You know, that's, like I said, once again, you know, bust the joke around and laugh at or to be the joke. Because a lot more, you know, most definitely, you know, some black people might think it's funny, but you wouldn't be able to tell that joke really in front of a whole group of black people. And then once again, even the whole point about her love life is like, your love and your babies were taken away from you when you had them. You know, she didn't include that part of the joke. Like, you wouldn't, LeBron is making money now. LeBron wouldn't have been making no money and during the slave time. Ultimately, he's still just making money for the owner, which is the master. So it's not, you know, she made it like, well, I'm going to have these big, strong basketball players and they going to benefit me. You know, in slavery time, like, I got, they said they were taken away from you. You know, and that wasn't no love. Like, I wasn't going out to dinner and living in a big house. You know, so, but, you know, it was a joke all the way around. And I think ultimately, hopefully, she'll understand that and hopefully make more jokes. And if you want to joke about that, you know, poking holes in how it did us and how we have how low down we've come. And that's kind of like another thing. So she's going to say she'd rather have been a slave. And what are they saying about what's going on with us nowadays? Is this time is worse than the slavery time? So, you know,
right.
Like, yeah, like, shit, I might as well be the slave. This part, you know, like, yeah, like, this right here is worse. And that can be another psychological thing, too, really. And that's a lot of things that a lot of people not really addressing when it comes to this racism issue. It's like, it's still not going deep enough. It's still surface. Like, it's, like I said earlier, it's more layers, you know, to it. Once you start pulling it out, you know, we still really just focus in on how we might be cooning, but we still not focusing in on the people that did it to us. Like, what, who are they then? You know, even for them to even laugh at it. You know, but I'm glad the one guy said what he said about, you know, that's just, you know, I can
passing you around. Like, but listen, what I'm saying is, there's a spirit out there to send us back to the plantation. You know, like I heard the dude Clyde Bundy stuff. Yeah, he was saying stuff. He was saying a lot of truth in there. You know, back then, hey, now we boarding our babies, killing our babies, but he got ran over being a racist, saying blacks are better off on a plantation. Now you get my man Sterling. Sterling didn't even say nigger. He said, listen, lady, you're embarrassing me. Here you out here with Magic Johnson, and everybody saying your girl for Magic Johnson. Now I got AIDS because you fucking Magic Johnson. You messing me up. Basically, he was saying that. But, you know, we had to jump down here and take his team from him. But here comes this black chick making a mockery of the most pain and suffering of our pain and suffering, which is the raping of our women, you know, which is our babies being taken, you know, and let's relate those to basketball players. Okay, yeah, big, strong, strapping buck. You popped out Kobe and LeBron. Now they snatched from you somewhere on Master Plantation, making him a fortune. All because of you. And what you want to be doing is going to the next plantation, popping Sinbad and the rest of everybody out. But check this out. Here's MSNBC. I know I played it earlier, everybody, but here's MSNBC. It's another black girl. Amen in it. Check this out. Hold on.
Well, he was. That's our job. So I want to go back to the SNL controversy, Chris, because this is the context for this, is that Leslie Jones, Sahir Jamada, and the third writer were actually hired because SNL was criticized for not being diverse enough. So now they bring this diversity, and sort of ironically, was it that maybe SNL's format was really not ready for sort of what she was bringing to the table?
I think what a lot of people are outraged about is that it just wasn't smart. It wasn't smart humor. She just came on and began talking about slavery, comparing Lupita Nyong'o, who's really having her Cinderella moment, to being at a slave auction or being on a plantation. It was in poor taste, and if she could have somehow worked in Donald Sterling or Clive and Bundy and somehow made it smarter, we have a story up right now in the Griot that said it would have been a hit. But it was a big mess. It was in the timing right now. We're in a really racially sensitive, heightened timing with all these things happening, so SNL probably should have known better. But it's SNL at the end of the day. It's a comedy show.
It's a comedy show. And I want to read, we actually reached out to some comedians, Jackie, just to get their commentary as well. Yeah. And Claudia Wallace, who's one of the folks who sent us back a statement, this is what she said. She said, I wasn't as offended, but it did make me uncomfortable. The energy of that piece didn't fit the show. It made SNL look desperate to show, hey, we can be as edgy as Key and Peele, but honestly, they can't. Is the issue here that this is really a broadcast network format? So it's a little bit different than, let's say, a cable format or even live sketch comedy.
You do have to be more careful on national network television, but I respectfully disagree with you. I know Leslie. I've seen her perform hundreds of times. She's aggressively funny. That's her job. And they said way worse things on Weekend Update throughout the year. She was amazing. She was hilarious. Being a juicy woman myself, I know I'll go for a top dollar in the slavery day because I have birthing hips and birthing boobs. She knew what she looks like. Her father told her what the world was like back then. Black people were like the way you buy shoes in Macy's and Nordstrom. We were on display. That's the truth. So the fact that it's funny now, we're just making light of something that was horrible. But that's the reality.
I think a lot of folks, though, are outraged because we haven't seen black women on SNL that often. We see Sahir Jamada on for the first time making history. This is the first time that we've seen a black writer on SNL in a long time, and this is what she comes out saying. That's why folks,
she
I think,
came out
are
like,
most
damn,
upset.
I'm here, let's do it. Yeah. And I'm proud of her. You're on it. Take the time. Take the opportunity. A black woman is on it. Now you're going to hear how funny we can be, and I'm proud of her.
I look forward to see more of her. I want to see what else she can do.
You can't contain that in the writing room. She's going to be on camera way more than it. This is how she is all the time.
Right. Well, I think we've definitely seen the edge that she brings to the table, and this debate, I'm sure, will continue. I'm sure it's continuing right now on Twitter. And we.
Now, see, what I'm saying is this, Coop, that there's a push in the media to put us back in the mammy days. Now, there's no way, as a black person, as a black woman, even she seconded, I'm a big, fat, juicy woman. I live a top dollar, too. Now.
I got it. So go ahead.
I'm just saying, is it a mentality? Like, I played the Clyde Davis. I played this and that. Here we got an affirmative action being overturned. We got the Voting Rights Act being kicked down, you know, and we got the Trayvon Martin, nothing happening. We got Al Sharpton being busted for wearing a wire, lying about, you know, Tawana Brawley. I mean, everything is just like, Listen, there was a song earlier this year that came out, right? Now, and I was tripping on the song. I told my mama, like, no, mama, this song right here is going to set the tone for this whole year. That's about 4 or 5 minutes, but cool, check me out. Now, you might have heard of it. Now, let me know if you haven't. It's a country hip-hop song, and this is what's really going on in America today. So, Clyde, Brad Paisley, it's Brad Paisley. LL Cool J.
Starbucks down on Main, I hope you understand. When I put on that t-shirt, the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinner fan. The red flag on my chest somehow is like the elephant in the corner of the I just walked him right in the room. Just a proud rebel son with an old can of worms, looking like I got a lot to learn. But from my point of view, I'm just a white man coming to you from the Southland, trying to like not to be. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything we've done. And it ain't like you and me can rewrite history. Our generation didn't start this nation. We're still picking up the pieces, walking on eggshells, fighting over yesterday. Between Southern pride and Southern blame. They called it Reconstruction, fixed the buildings, strides and tears. We're still sifting through the rubble after 150 years. I try to put myself in your shoes, and that's a good place to begin. It ain't like I can walk a mile in someone else's skin. Yes, I'm a white man living in the Southland. Just like you, I'm more than what you see. I'm proud of where I'm from, but not everything.
Mr. White Man, I wish you understood what the world is really like when you're living in the hood. Just because my pants are sagging doesn't mean I'm up to no good. You should try to get to know me, I really wish you would. Now my chains are gold, but I'm still misunderstood. I wasn't there when Sherman's march turned the South into firewood. I want you to get paid, but be a slave, I never could. Feel like a newfangled jangle dodging invisible white hoods. So when I see that white cowboy hat, I'm thinking it's not all good. I guess we're both guilty of judging the cover, not the book. I'd love to buy you a beer, conversate and clear the air. But I see that red flag and I think you wish I wasn't here.
The white man,
if you don't judge my new rag,
land,
I won't judge your red flag.
Not everything.
Mason Dixon needs some fixing.
I hope you understand what this is all about.
Quite frankly, I'm a black Yankee, but I've been thinking about this lately.
I'm a son of the new South.
The past is the past, you feel me?
And I just want to make things right.
Let bygones be bygones.
All that's left is Southern pride.
R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. But I gotta thank Abraham Lincoln for freeing me. You know what I mean? It's real. It's real.
Now, this song was, this song was sent out earlier off. That's LL Cool J in the background. R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. If you overlook my gold chains, I can overlook around the neck chains. That's LL Cool J. If you can forgive my sagging pants, I forgive the leg chains. If you can overlook my gold chains,
I forgive the leg chains.
Yeah, I think Abraham Lincoln will set me free. We can get together. Now, that's LL Cool J. Point I'm saying is, where are we now? That's hip-hop right there. That's hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? That's LL Cool J. Hold on, Coop. Listen, that's LL Cool J. He ain't no black-ass, chunky-ass rapper. That's LL Cool J. You know, if you take any LL Cool J 1986 stuff put against anybody's stuff right now, eat it alive. R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. Listen, R.I.P. Robert E. Lee. The man who took a whole country to war because slaves wanted to be free. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, once again, it's still, and I wanted to say this earlier, man. I think it's like, man, knowing everything we went through, I know where it's coming from. But then on another note, I know probably the ancestors before slavery probably like, what the hell? That's what slavery was meant to do to us, like really cut our spirits down, break our pride, and from that point on, it's almost like we always relate back to that slave mentality, never going beyond that, saying, yo, we weren't meant to be no damn slaves any damn way. So let bygones be bygones, what you mean? We ain't did nothing to you, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, this ain't the, you know, so well, once again, it's still like we still caught in that yes, master, you know, type of, like, well, once again, the queen type of thing. Like, it's almost like, well, yeah, that happened, and we rich now. It's all right. Well, we not rich. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that stuff made up. So, in this, I was like saying that nothing else was going on. Like, that was just, it was slavery back then. Now we straight. Let's move past it. Love everybody. Like, come on now. That's what they're portraying, too. And that's the whole point about, you know, blog, radio, and other means to get out, you know, the truth and make people more aware of what's going on and be more conscious, man. Cause I really kind of feel like some of the youth, like they just really,
all you got to hear a chick talking about if she's a big cock and bucket slave and how funny that is. You got to hear about that. I can make me a shack, and that's funny. And then you go on MSNBC, oh no, that's fiery. I'll be another big juicy girl. Now you can probably have some big precious type of chick in the crib laughing at that too, thinking, oh man, back in the day, I'd be like that too.
Making it
I'm just
funny.
Saying the effects of people that's sitting back at the crib who might think that way. There are black women now who black men in the black community be upset because they feel they prostitute themselves to the white man, or sometimes they feel that you know, that the white man is sending women into them to break their, you know, the use. And this is not me. I'm just saying, it's not me. I'm just saying, there's people that are saying that the black woman, the queen of the earth, Mother Universe, baby snatched from them, suffering, the pain they went through. Now, there's no jokes that you can crack about a man raping your mama, raping your sister, raping your daughter. There's no jokes. You can never, ever laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, master got me. No, no, no. That's sickness. That's a form of mental illness. Or ignorance. Excuse me. Ignorance to the highest degree. And I'm using it in its colloquial meaning, not knowing. Because there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. And SNL should apologize because there's no way we can just jump on Sterling for saying, I don't want you to bring black people to my arena. And we got a girl saying, I'll be the best slave out there popping babies left and right.
So I can get good.
I mean, what is the double standard? I mean, hold on. Is it a double standard? Is it? Honestly, you know, just be objective. Don't be one. Don't be open. Don't close mind. I only have to one
time.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now I want to know if it was a double standard. Do you think it's a double standard, Sterling? What Sterling said and what old girl said, or what Sterling said was worse than what old girl said?
I think it's a different type of comment. I think because he said it, he didn't say it out in the public, you know what I'm saying? He said it in a conversation with somebody else, which we know probably a lot of them do, and they may not come out front and say it. And this is another thing, Jim, that they could be flipping it on. Oh, okay, look, see, as a country, as a franchise or a company like the NBA, see, we dealing with racism. We dealing with white people. And then, but see, look at y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all do, you know what I'm saying? It could be a chess move. You know, like, yeah, we're going to give the white man a consequence and make him sell his team and all of that for him being this racist, you know, so it could be a flip. Like, but see, look at you all are doing it too, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to discipline him. So it's almost like getting black people maybe to see, oh, so maybe there's something wrong with y'all, like you said, maybe y'all should be in slavery. Because then who's gonna check her? You know, like it's all, you know what I'm saying? It's like the NBA said, okay, we're gonna get on him for doing that and we're gonna do this. And then as black people, yeah, we should get on her. You know what I'm saying? The same way. Like we don't have to be in no NBA. It's almost like I ain't watching no, I don't watch it anyway, to be honest, but female was on it anyway. But
I saw it 5 minutes before I did my show, I'm like, I cannot believe this. Now, dig it. I ain't going front. Everybody says she ugly. Nah. To me, she, hey, if I saw her in the club, I would holler at her. Straight up. She,
yeah.
I mean, hey. I don't know where she hanging at, but the fact that she's been a comedian for a long time. I saw her in 2000 on Showtime at the Apollo. She's a writer. So evidentially, I mean, she got some skill. Because SNL ain't going to just hire you just because you black. You know,
you know,
I'm not going to give that. You know.
You know what, Jim? I ain't mean to cut you like John.
No,
Lane,
go ahead, my man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying, like how John, let me tell you something about the Jeffersons. Once again, man, George Jefferson, dog body. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to be a comedian, you got, you know, that's what made us laugh. You know what I'm saying? Hockey, like, that made us laugh. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was more of a, it still was more of that black power comedy. You know what I'm saying? But that type of thing is almost like that's the cooling part. Like, I'm going to give a master what he want. You going to give a master Shaq to get paid or LeBron to get paid? Or, you know what I'm saying? You willing to take your baby and get a master because the baby going to be big and strong for master to get him to build his damn house and send him over to other masters to work for him so the money can come. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what the NBA is, basically.
It's just a new modern day of that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they getting that little money, but at the end of the day, we know that money ain't really real or nothing. You know, so with him making that comment, I mean, it's still a difference, and that's what we need. We need a class, man. We need to teach a class and teach black people and about what racism, what this really is. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that I think we don't do. We know they're not going to do it in mainstream America, like really break it down, like, okay, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a difference. Just like they talk about music and hip-hop, even though we might have been fucked the police, yeah, they cussed, but it was a different, you know what I'm saying? It was a different type of thing. And now, you know, they always want to put it, like, everything is the same and every situation is different. And
yeah,
I think that's giving up. I mean, that popping out babies
is
like, come on, that ain't, that's not funny, man.
No. But
you
know, what
I'm
saying
to
is,
me, to me, you want to pop out babies as they get, it should have been funny. Like, I'm going to pop out LeBron, so when the master sleep, he'll go, you know what I'm saying, go do something. That, you know, it should have been, that shit came off.
She said no scientists, yeah. She didn't say no build a thing. But dig this though, let me play this little skit now. Hey, now, this is what I mean by them flipping stuff back now. You know, everybody's at the Democratic Party, the Progressive Party, the All for Blacks, what have you. But this will happen down in Michigan after that Supreme Court thing.
So the Supreme Court just made a ruling upholding the state of Michigan's prerogative to not have affirmative action in their schools. In fact, let me quote the Associated Press here. In a 6-2 ruling, Michigan voters, they said, had the right to change their state constitution to prohibit public colleges and universities from taking account of race in admissions decisions. Now, we're considered generally a progressive show, and so you might think that I'm outraged by this decision, but not only am I not outraged by it, I agree with it. I think the voters of Michigan do have a right to make that decision. They made that decision. And by the way, further, so that's the constitutional issue. On the policy issue, I generally agree with the voters of Michigan. I think that affirmative action was actually incredibly important in the beginning. Now, anybody who argued against affirmative action for the first however many decades, 2 decades, 3, 4, 5 decades, I think was wrong. Because it's all, well, let's be colorblind. Well, that's easy for white folks to say at the time because they had all the jobs. So if you wanted to break into being a cop, being a firefighter, break into the union, into a contractor position or a white-collar position, well, all those jobs belong to white people. So we had to have a way to at least give minorities in this country a fair chance at those jobs. We did for a long time. I now think we've gotten to the point where it does minorities more harm than good to continue to apply affirmative action. Because I've seen in my whole lifetime, unfortunately, the other side of that equation where I've seen different Americans, and not all right-wing, not all conservative, go, oh, yeah, they just got that because of affirmative action. So it...
The Supreme Court is upholding the right of voters in Michigan to ban race as a factor in college admission decisions.
It's a decision that's reigniting debate. NBC's Steve Handelsman has the details from Washington.
In a referendum in 2006, 58% of Michigan voters approved amending the state constitution to ban any consideration of race in public college admissions and public...
Now, what I'm saying is this. Now, here we go. Here we have everybody talking about Southern Pride, R.I.P., Robert E. Lee, popping out babies. They might have been happy back in slavery, Clyde Bundy. Don't bring blacks in. Now, dig it. All I'm saying is, what's going on? Are we going black in time?
You want black in time today?
As we continue our discussion, I actually jumped the gun. I'm sorry, I said goodbye to you on a short.
Hold on.
But we're continuing our discussion on the Supreme Court ruling, changing the historic 1964 Voting Rights Act, and we're back with our panel here. We left off with Congress possibly doing something, and you're saying there's no way this Congress is going to step into this issue, that this is it, the ruling has been made, and that's the end of it. Do you really believe that not one or two congressmen like Congressman Lewis might not come forward and say, we need to do something about this? Because
it's considered one of the most important pieces of civil rights legislation ever passed. But by 5-4, the U.S. Supreme Court today took the teeth out of a law enacted nearly 50 years ago. NewsHour correspondent Kwame Holman begins our coverage.
President Lyndon Johnson signed the landmark law in 1965, and ever since, the Voting Rights Act has policed voting discrimination. But today's decision effectively puts it on hold. Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the five-member majority, said the law originally distinguished between states that had used barriers to minority voting and had low voter turnout and those that had not. But he wrote, "Today the nation is no longer divided along those lines, yet the Voting Rights Act continues to treat it as if it were." Edward Bloom, speaking for officials in Shelby County, Alabama, who made the challenge to the Voting Act, welcomed the outcome.
"This decision restores an important constitutional order to our system of government, and that requires that all 50 states and every jurisdiction have the laws applied equally to them."
The decision leaves the...
Now, cool. What I was trying to say is now, with the Voting Rights Act, affirmative action, and all these things taken away from us, where's outrage? Where's outrage? Are we that asleep? Seriously. Now I'm saying, this is not no secret. I'm not playing another secret. This has been on the news, newspapers, up and down, cable, Twitter, about where black folks at. We going to jump out because the man said black. Sterling didn't even say nigger. He said black. And we got all mad about this guy. We got all mad because Clyde Bundy said, back in the day, black folks was crying and keep holding over their family, keep their babies. Now they run out having abortions, left and right, which is the truth. But here we got black women saying, pop them out, R.I.P. Robert E. Lee, Voting Rights Act gone, and affirmative action is gone. Now, I'm 50-50 on affirmative action for colleges because I feel like blacks need to go on to these black universities because we have institutions set in place just because white institutions are ones. We have our own institutions. So if they want to play that game, we have our own institutions. And let's see whether it'll be a 5-5 or all you ballers in Michigan, don't go. There should not be one athlete going to a University of Michigan if y'all really real. But that's just my little rant. Go on there. I got about 9 minutes. What you got 9 minutes? Anything you
want to
say?
Yeah, just like I said, there's so many, once again, going back to so many layers, man, racism, and that's what it was back then, that has done to us. And it's almost like you said, man, I don't care about going to these schools anyway. You know, and it's like, once again, thinking, and that's the thing about maybe you have another topic about the civil rights movement, that it really did it set us back, or just did it, you know, because now it's almost like, oh, they're taking this from us. But really, we've never had anything from them. We've never gotten anything from them. So it sounds like anything that was given to us from our oppressor is just another form of oppression. It's a disguise of something that's, you know, that we appear for a couple of years or a decade or two to be, a gift. Oh, yeah, we got this now. But once again, Jim, I'm thinking about on that psychological, even on that spiritual sense, I was just listening to, like, the laws that were passed. I mean, really, at the end of the day, man, on a spiritual sense, I know we need laws and so forth in society, but this is a really, we live in a, like, almost barbarism, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, why do you have to really, this should be, some of this stuff should be just innate inside of you. We live in a society where they got to write laws and change laws. Like, nothing stays the same. It's like, how can we even live like this? Like, it's never going to be in this kind of form of policy, you know, of the way that we run this land, the way that they run it. It's just a big chess game going back and forth. Like, it's never going, you know, in this society, it's never going to change in that way because they pass a law, change it. And as black people, we keep thinking we're going to get something from them. It ain't not. We've been here for 400 years, and really, it's been a flip-flop every since. You know what I mean, man? You look around certain cities, you know what's going on in the shy with all the killers. And, you know, it's like no one is still addressing why they even doing that. Even with the abortion, like we, people might be getting abortion now, even though we know it's wrong, but it's based on a societal thing now. Like, okay, now you have all these babies you can't take care of. You know, it's like it's just so much, and it's like that got to be the beast to keep, you know, and never want to even admit, and not an apology, but an admit that we have caused these group of people
to be this way based on what has happened to them over the period of time of slavery, not just during the slavery time. Man, hell, we had, well, how many years of Jim Crow? Shit, we almost had more than
50 years. 20, almost 20 years.
Yeah, more than 20
years.
So it's half of that,
bro. And let's add, don't forget to add a ticket of crack. So they don't forget to add a ticket of crack thrown up in that junk. And then we got civil rights, we got Jim Crow, civil rights, busing, crack. And look where we are right now. We're right back to square one.
Right back to
you know what I'm saying?
And that's, it might all be mixed in now. The drugs, the psychological, just everything now. And that's probably why it is a worse situation, because now it's all mixed in. And
it's all one now. It's all one now. So we're numb to the fact. Or we're dumb to the fact. Well, my parents told me that the TV is called the idiot box and it's going to make you an idiot. Yeah. You just said that for me not watch TV. I don't watch a lot of television. When I went to school, the television was a luxury back in my day in college, so I didn't even watch a lot of television. So that, I got deprogrammed. So I come home, I don't watch too much television. So
yeah.
A lot of people, they can be into the love and hip hop. Nothing wrong with it. You watch it, whatever. House of Atlanta. Nothing wrong with it. You watch it, you know, whatever. BET, y'all watch it. You know, I'm not trying to say what have you or none of that, though. But a lot of that dumbing people down and laughing, we're laughing too much. And the point I'm saying is this. Right, the point I'm saying is this. Is that we should be outraged. We should be outraged at what Ms. Jones said. What happened in Michigan, and what's the Voting Rights Act? Where's Al Sharpton? Where's NAACP? Where are our leaders right now? The point I'm saying right now, are they quiet because we're quiet? Had the job. And listen, I'm going to call you back Monday. I want to do a show on this. Is the plan working, or has the plan worked? I'm just saying. We know it's a plan.
You check your email, right? You check your email.
Yeah. I'm checking that. See, I haven't been doing my Thursday shows because I'm in campaign and one of them days I have off. But I'm trying to get my son to run it because I got, you know, trying to get him to take over the business, you know, like family business. But the point I'm saying is, it's cool. You know, back in the '80s, everybody was reading about the plan, how the white man was going to destroy us and all like that. Now here we are, 2014. Is this plan working, or has this plan worked? And we are where he wanted us to be, laughing at slavery. Laughing at slavery. Not even laughing so hard that the rights that people died for, Coop. There's blood stains on those laws. And no one is honoring the blood stains of those laws. Period. You know? And that's one of my platforms I'm running on. You know, I got a platform. I'm going to email my platform. But, you know, the Voting Rights Act is one of them. I'm not too heavy on affirmative action, because affirmative action right now is an essay is when they get that. As soon as they get that immigration bill passed, you get affirmative action. Oh, that's for essays. You know, Voting Rights Act law, I'm with them sending it back, because we need to make sure it's a black law and not a minority law, because the law was intended for the people, African Americans, who were discriminated, not Asians, not sexual deviants, not, you know, Hispanics, you know, but African Americans.
Yeah, you know, it could be time that these American white man laws are breaking down, because we moving to the end of the cycle in this day. We need to start coming up with our own principles and our own laws. I mean, because I think that's eventually what is. How's it? Maybe if you, like I said, you a historian. You know, we both are. Like, it's just gonna play itself out. It's like, okay. To me, sometimes I look at it like, damn, when is enough gonna be enough that I don't want to keep passing this on to my great-great-great-grandkids. I want them to
I'm going to talk to you about that online. We can have a show. And I got about like 20 seconds ago. But I'm going to break it down like that. That's correct. I want to have a show on that with you. But listen, the point I'm saying is this. Is it working? Is it worked? Has it worked? And if it is, how can we make noise of it? Because if you want to start anything else, you got to get the youth. I mean, people are dead, Coop. Our women are gone. They don't want to be mothers no more. Our family structures break down. Now we will get on our feet. It's not black man, black woman. It's man, mommy, friend, and mommy, you know? I mean, there's no family. Matter of fact, marriage don't mean anything now. We are here where we're going to have another show. I'm going to talk to you offline. Like I say in my show every night, you know what I'm saying? Good night, may your God be with you, because I'm saying this right here. He who have eyes, let them see. He who have ears, let them hear. My name is Jimmy Lee. I got my man Donna Dead. I got some tracks. I'm going to rock them out when I have. Give me another week and a half. I'll get everything up. I'm going to bring you back on. We're going to have a black power. We're going to go black power all the way to my, you know, I can't tell my lexus. I got tons of hip hop music. Music. But I'm gonna do a black power music session all the way to Hip Hop History Month. I think that's coming at the end of May. But anyway, I'm gonna rock like that. Anything you want to say? Right. These 96 I got, Coop. Anything you want to say? These 96 I got.
Hey, peace. Always be aware. Always dig deeper. You know, read between the lines, because everything ain't always what it seems.
All right. I'll see you if I have show 30 to tune in. If not, y'all know how to do it.
New black beauty has changed. Look at me. See, I'm single right now. In the slave days, I would have been single. See, tall and I'm strong, Colin. Strong! Mandingo!
Be a slave,
no,
right?
No, that is not what I'm saying. I do not want to be a slave. Hell, I don't like working for you white people, right? Me. In the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Matt, the best brother on the plantation. And every month I'd be in the corner having a super baby. Every 9 months I'd just be in the corner just popping. Kobe. LeBron.
Sinbad.
That's what I'm saying. I'm one slave draft pick